Real Chalk Nation, Ryan Fisher here, coming back at you with another one. This one's called Preparation and Opportunity. It's got all the feels. My main man, Anders Varner, one of the hosts of Barbell Shrugged, and myself hanging out in my apartment on the couch going over what we think the definition of preparation and opportunity really is. And I think it's sad that a lot of people out there are looking for opportunity all the time, but they're not really preparing themselves for the opportunity. So it's really, really hard to get great opportunities if you're not preparing yourself all the time. Every single thing that you do is preparation. And Anders and I go over exactly what we did in our past that got us to where we are right now. So I'm ecstatic about my life at the moment. Anders is ecstatic about his life at the moment. We've been getting opportunities to do great things, travel all over the place, talk to awesome people. We've run great businesses. I still run mine. And I have programming that I do for thousands of gyms all over the world. So it's been an amazing ride, and I love to help other people at this point. I think you hear these stories of people helping other people, and they're trying to, you know, financially benefit from it. But this is a free podcast, and I'm here telling you my story because I genuinely want to tell you my story. I genuinely want to help you. And I hope that all the things that you hear in this episode are something that really, really helps you get through the day or through the week or through the month or through the year. And you listen to this and you're like, you know what? Fuck yeah, like that's awesome. And I'm going to add that to my day, and I'm going to start to think this way, and I'm going to start to constantly prepare myself for more opportunities. And I genuinely think if you want big things to happen, there are a few things that you need to be doing on a daily basis that get you there. And this is just a very easy listen that is going to go by very quick for you guys. And I just can't wait for you guys to listen to it. So I hope you really, really enjoy it. And I will see you on the other side. Before we get into the show, I want to hit our sponsors, which happen to be myself and CrossFit Chalk, because today is a very special day. Today happens to be my 32nd birthday. So in honor of that, I'm giving 50% off discount codes for my two programs that I provide on my website at crossfitchalk.com. My individual program, which is normally $20 a month, with code 32, just the number 32 for just how old I just turned. That will give you half off, so $10 a month, and it will work for life, for as long as you're a member. I also have my affiliate option, which tons of gyms follow currently. That's $100 a month, and today and the next few days, I'll keep it valid. You'll get 50% off of that, so $50 a month for the affiliate option for the rest of your life. So those are some pretty sweet deals. It's a sweet day for me. I've had some sweet cake and some sweet donuts and stuff all day. So just extending you guys some extra sweetness. And you guys can hit those up at crossfitchalk.com. Click Chalk Online. And when you go to sign up, you can use those codes. For the affiliate option, it's capital A in the word affiliate. So capital A, then the rest of the words for affiliate, less of the rest of the letters. And then for the regular option, it is just 32. So 32 or affiliate, and those will give you your discount codes. And it's going to be an all the feels kind of day today. Discount codes, get to talk to myself and Anders and hear all the opportunity and preparation stuff. So let's get this thing on the road, and I'm excited for you guys to get motivated. Let's do it. All right. What's up, everybody? Ryan Fisher here. You know who it is. Real Chalk. Sitting down with Anders Varner from Barbell Shrugged. If you don't know what Barbell Shrugged is, why are you on the Shrugged Collective? Anyway, Anders hit me up a few days ago. I made a post on Instagram basically about opportunity, and I took a photo with someone named Marge, who was actually the original person to actually like push me in the direction of having online programming. So when I say online programming, basically I created an online program that basically mirrors what I do in the gym, and what I do in the gym has been working really, really well. One of the most successful CrossFit gyms in the world. And it became very apparent to me that my programming was something different than most people's, when everybody who dropped in from out of town was like, this place is awesome, your workouts are awesome. And this lady Marge, who would visit every year, could not wait to come every single year. And then one day she was like, you should do this. And I was like, oh, okay. And then after that moment, it did change my life. And then Anders was like, hey, I think we should talk about this. Because not only did I talk about how she changed my life, but I talked about how all these other people in my life have also changed my life as well. Actually, Anders is actually one of those people as well. So let's get into it.
Yeah. So like one of the reason I reached out right off the bat was I've been on this like huge kick lately. Not even lately, but I feel like the more I grow and the more opportunities that like happen in my life, I feel like these things keep happening to me, and it's almost as if like I don't even have control of them. Like these people show up in my life, and at first I have no idea why they show up. Like I have no idea why these people like are introduced into my world. And all I do is think that they're like cool people. I'm like, oh, that's a fun person to hang out with a cool job. Or, oh, wow, you're doing something interesting that I find is interesting. And all I want to do is learn about it. And what happens is like it starts building a relationship, or it, like they see something special in me, and we create just some weird bond. And that bond always turns into something that becomes like the most important thing in my life, or it becomes this like thing that is the guiding light to where I'm at. So, we can even go back from like when you walked into the gym, like I had never met anybody that had signed off on me that was like the caliber of athlete that you were. Like you talk a lot about like you saw me coaching and you saw me like everything that I did was like, it was burning a hole in my life to like be this person that like wanted you to love fitness as much as I loved it. And coaching classes was like the most important thing. All I wanted to do was have athletes like you. So when you showed up and you were torn between like, am I going to go to Invictus or am I going to go to CrossFit PB?
Oh man, that was a crazy time.
Yeah, but it was super fucking important to me that like you chose to be at our gym and our culture and the thing that we were building, like you signed off on it. And I knew because of you as a person and how hard you worked that it was like really, really important to you that you were in the right place. And somehow I had created something that you were attracted to more than the big, bad green people down the street who already had been to the games, had already done all these like shiny things. Yet you chose to be a part of this like grinder culture.
I actually forgot about that.
Like, yeah, like that stuff was really, really important to me. And anytime I have had a mentor or had somebody like come into my life, I never like was looking for it. It's like the person just showed up, and they showed up at a time in my life where I was just so ready and so in need of that person. Although I had no idea that relationship would flourish. Like the first time I ever had a business coach, I wasn't looking for a business coach. I just was around a lot of entrepreneurs.
When was this? Because you went to school. A lot of people don't know that you have your MBA.
Yeah, I have an MBA. And if I could get all that money back, it'd be awesome. I always consider like my MBA program to be just the classroom part a total waste of time. I can read financial statements, awesome, but a lot of getting your MBA is like based out of like you can go and try and be a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, which is a lot of people. You can go to Wall Street, and then there's this like tiny group of people that hang out in bars and try and skip classes and don't really care.
It's kind of like having doctor in front of your name, though. When I hear someone has an MBA, I'm immediately like, oh, shit, he knows a lot. You know, my posture gets a little better.
Yeah.
My butthole gets a little tighter. I squeeze. My abs get tight.
They're judging me. all of my friends own businesses from MBA or from my MBA program. So it was like I just hung out with the kids that were in the corner that didn't really want to listen to anybody but weren't probably ready to start businesses. So that's all we talked about, which was really cool. And it was a massive part of the transition into opening the gym. But the real business education started probably like 3 years after. I mean, I knew I wanted to open a gym, but to be honest, like I wanted to open a gym so I had a place to train to be good at CrossFit.
I think most of us do. And that's what most of us think in the beginning.
And yeah, and then I started making money. And I was making enough money, more money than I had ever made in my life, and I didn't really understand what the core thing was of why people were giving us money. Like, it didn't like I knew that we had an awesome gym. I knew we had an awesome culture. I knew that like that frat party that we threw every day centered around barbells was really important. But I didn't have any idea of like the core concepts of what we did in the gym. And one of my members owns a really badass real estate company. And at the time he had been around like 14 years. And I had basically just laid out like exactly what I'm talking about right now. Like, man, I'm making money. There's 300 something members here. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. How do I make this grow? Like, what's the next step? And like, what do I focus on? I had no clue that business was just focusing on your core concepts and core principles of like who you are as a person. And we sat down and had like a 3-hour long conversation about like just this grand idea of like, what is business? And
is that when you opened the 2 locations?
Yeah. And it's because we were expanding. We were busting out. I had gone through like a ton of really trying times of like getting evicted. And like, I knew that I was capable of like all of these things just make you so bulletproof. And, but I still just didn't know at the time, like what was going on. And we just went and got coffee and he sat me down and he was like, dude, this is like what business is. Like it's, you have to develop yourself as a person and understand what the core concepts and core principles of your life are, because those are going to be what people are buying. Like anyone can go lift weights anywhere, but like what makes you special? What makes your business different than everyone else's?
And obviously you're special in this moment because he's taking time out of his day to help you out.
And that is the thing that like, I don't know if it happens to everybody, but it happens to me all the time.
And if I, as an outsider, someone who's been around you a long time, like I'm actually sitting here trying to think about this, like since we started the interview, and I'm like, I can't think of a time that Anders was ever 50% effort. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't think I ever remember a time, one time in Austin, I saw you like really mad for like a day. And yeah. It was the only time I'd ever seen you like really upset.
But that was but you because were I still... was 100% effort and the other people around me weren't. I was pissed off that they didn't care.
And then even that night, you hadn't talked to anybody that whole day.
Yeah.
So you were conserving. And then that night we had a great interview. You had a great like meeting with everybody. So like even still, even though that day that I think was a little bit less than 50% effort for the majority of the day, it still ended with 150% effort. And I think when you're always like that, I like to think of myself like that. I hope I am. I think that that's when the great things happen. Yeah. But I think a lot of people fuck up because they're like this roller coaster of 100% effort and 30% effort and 50% effort.
It's hard.
And you know, like you hold grudges against people and this person has more than I do or this and that. I think it's an amazing thing when you start to make money, like what you actually decide to do with it.
Yeah. It's really hard. I think that that's the hardest part is like, so it took me a really long time. Like you were probably one of the only people that ever knew that I was training with Cena and I kept it so quiet. And like over the last year, I've probably started talking about it a lot more. And it's because like, I think it's really important. Like that
when
guy
he says Cena, he means John Cena, the professional wrestler.
Yeah. Like
just the, very, very casually.
The guy that you see in the movies and at Monday Night Raw, and the like, he's a fucking savage.
Yeah. His arm is the size of my quad.
Yeah. So that's like, it's weird to talk about it because he's so famous and so well respected and so good at what he does. And like for 4 years we trained together and I never talked to anybody about it because, and I still respect the relationship so much. It's just, it's taken me 6 years to understand what happened in those 4 years and how that's influenced kind of like my life. But when that guy showed up, I didn't know that he would want to train with me. But I knew that when I started the gym that, like, I really wanted it to be, like, a place where, like, the best in the world could show up and have that conversation and feel comfortable and want to call it home. And, like, you were one of those first people that, like, could be the best in the world that showed up and felt like you were at home. And I just always, you talk about like putting 100% effort out. He literally is like, I can't quit in my life. If I don't show up and if I'm not 100% every single day, I'm scared to death that I couldn't call him one day and ask a favor. But not like a regular favor, like the most important favor that I have. Like, I need a door opened in a way that, like, nobody's ever had a door opened. Like, when I become the host of Barbell Shrugged, and I want the world to know that, like, I can play at that level, that's when I call Cena. I don't call him to find out what he's up to on, like, a Tuesday. It's like, no, you develop that relationship because he showed up to your gym, and he understands how hard you work, and he knows that you've put in that fucking grind to make your life matter, and when you're ready, he will pick the phone up.
Yeah.
But if you don't do it for 4 straight years, and if you take a day off, he's not going to pick the phone up. So there's plenty of days where you wake up and you feel like shit, and there's plenty of days where you might not want to go to work and set your alarm at 6 a.m. because who's watching? You have to get out of bed.
Everybody's fucking watching all the time.
Always. Yeah. And I think that that's, like, why your post really, like, got me, because, like, that lady never had to say that. The lady never had to be like, hey, you should just put this stuff online. To her, it was probably the most obvious, stupid thing. Like, why aren't you putting this online, you idiot? Well, she would have never said that to you or never felt the way that she felt when she visited your gym if every single day and every single minute didn't matter so freaking much that you made it feel a certain way. And everything about that moment and all the moments she had been there, she wanted to share with the world because she thought it was special. You were just at work. You were just putting in your grind. And from that grind, your life has changed because somebody came up with an awesome idea that literally has taken your gym and made it a worldwide thing. Like, and people don't get it.
Yeah.
They don't work hard. And they don't...
It's getting worse. Like, the millennial... I mean, everyone talks about millennials. You have people on the news talk about millennials. You have the stockbrokers on the news talking about millennials and, like, yeah, all the brands and older people who are pissed at millennials. And, like, it just... When you think of millennials, yeah, there's so many definitions yeah to it. And it always makes me laugh and smile because I'm like, I wonder if I'm a millennial or...
I think we are.
You know what I mean? Like, if we're on that borderline. But what I think is, like, really, really interesting is I think the millennials have such a significantly less work ethic than all of us. Yeah. And, like, every time I meet someone in their 20s, they just think that they should be making $10,000, $20,000 a month with very little effort. And, yeah, like, my entire life growing up, I was like, if I ever make $10,000 a month, that's it. I'm done. I'm hanging it up.
So rich.
I'm putting my feet up. Cruise control. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've more than passed that, and I can honestly say, like, the amount of money that I even make now, my life is exactly the same. We're sitting in my exact apartment that I had yeah when I made way less than $10,000.
Anytime I see my bank account go up, yeah, I go, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a new number.
And I think that's the difference. Is there's
who
some
cares?
People who decides what they do with it. And I think that everything in your life can mean... I mean, like, the way that you get there is way more important than getting there. I mean, that's really yeah what it really comes down to. And then, like, and all of those things just make such a difference. I listened to a podcast with Tony Robbins, and he talks about this. And he's like, it still doesn't matter where you're at if you haven't found fulfillment.
Yeah.
And if you're not fulfilled, then it doesn't matter. Like, there's people with millions. Kate Spade.
Yeah.
She just hung herself.
It's crazy.
Dead.
Crazy.
I can't even imagine how much money she had.
All of it.
Right? And just, like, one little scenario, it didn't matter. It's all gone.
Yeah.
I mean, we could do that all day. Like, people who've had everything
just in the last
everything
couple of years. Like, yeah, Chris Cornell. Like, all the people.
Yeah.
But they're... And it's not even money, man. It's like...
That fulfillment factor, though, is
yeah
huge.
You have to wake up with, like, a purpose to it every day. And I think the other thing is, like... This thing started way, way younger for me than even, like, you talk about my MBA. Like, that wasn't even, like, 1% of it. When I was 13, I, like, left home, or 14, I left home to go play hockey. And I went to private school. I'm not from, like, a lot of money. So, like, in order for me to even pay for my own high school, when I came home, my dad and I would just go cut grass. Like, that was my summer. Was not whatever people think summer vacation is, was not my summer vacation at all. My summer vacation was working 12 hours a day on Navy ships in really, really hot, un-air-conditioned, shitty places and making like $12 an hour, which was really baller for like a high school kid because it was government contracts.
I had a very similar job we should come back to when you're done with
this. And then on the weekends, my dad and I went and got lawnmowers and we went and cut grass and threw mulch. And Sundays, I didn't work. So like in between training and working and all these things, like I don't know another way outside of literally the hardest, grindingest thing. And I think that a lot of people think that that is like supposed to be the... I think that a lot of people think that it's supposed to be some easy... Oh, it's me. Look at that.
Sorry, guys.
Phone went off. My bad. I think that when you talk about like the millennial thing or like whatever that is, like I think that people just, they don't realize that like you only hear about people until they've made it or like on the day that they make it. And you don't hear about the 10 years before that led up to all the things. So like even if somebody finds like Instagram, like basically was dead. It was a many year long process for them.
When I met you, it was like just kind of starting.
Yeah, and it was only starting because they've actually figured out a way to put filters onto the pictures.
Yeah,
and you can listen to that story. Like that company was dead. There was nothing.
I remember looking at it and being like, "This app sucks." Like I didn't like it. I liked Facebook.
The guy that's girlfriend was like in Mexico, and they were about ready to be completely done with the whole company, and the guy asked his girlfriend, like, why don't you use this product? And she was like, well, why would I put my own pictures up? Like, professional photographers have these, like, filters that make everything look so nice. And he was like, filters. Genius. And now he's a billionaire.
Yeah, I was stoked on, like, the X one where it, like, made you super ripped.
Yeah, exactly. You can still go and hit the structure.
Yeah. Like, I'd go to the old photos and be like, wow, I can't believe I posted that. You know? It's so crazy to me.
But, yeah, dude, I think that, like, all of the stuff that has ever happened, like, literally just comes out of everyone just watching me try and die for whatever the next step is to get better every single day. Like, and I'm literally terrified if people saw me stop. If people thought for a second that I like didn't work hard, like they wouldn't trust me.
I actually have an issue with this because I have a lot of things going on. Like not only this podcast, my online program. I'm actually thinking about creating a food product right now with this humongous savage of a person. I haven't even told you about this yet, but it's a really cool idea. And I have a bunch of other ideas, but I really, really am nervous about like my members in the gym, not my members, my coaches in the gym. I don't want them to like see me not there and feel like, oh, he's living the high life and whatever. Like when I go on my trips and stuff, I get like genuinely get nervous. Like, totally. I'm like, oh my God, I don't want them to think that. You know, I'm out living the dream and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I want to scream at them so hard. Like, you don't know what I did to get here.
Yeah.
And I put in, like, I sacrificed my life. Like, there's actual years of my life that I really wish didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I worked so hard and I put my head down so hard. And, like, I was telling you before the podcast, like, there's not one step that I take that doesn't hurt on my left knee. Like, I'm reminded every day of all the dumb shit that I did to myself. I mean, it all worked out in its own way. But even right now, we're in my house doing this, and, like, I'm, like, nervous that, like, if I'm not there for multiple hours, that they're like, oh, I wonder what he's doing, you know? Or, like, I don't have to coach that hard. Well, he's not here.
Like, what's going to happen to the product that you put out that you're known for? Like, is somebody else going to actually be able to carry out exactly what you need for that place to be successful? So, next thing you know, every single project that you have, like, takes on this, like, you're losing touch with whatever piece it is.
Yeah.
And it's not like, does it lose the vibe so much that it
stops matters
remaining special or stops being special. And man, that's really weird.
I try to do little things for my employees though that like that do mean.
Well, I can promise you that your gym remains the way you have it. We did two shows at Chalk like two Sundays ago. And I was like, hey, dude, can you turn the music down just like a little bit so we can actually talk?
Oh, yeah, Mike told me.
And Mike was like, no. I was like, no, like, we're shooting a show. Can we just have it down like a little bit? Like, I don't need it quiet. And he was like, no, it has to be really loud all the time. And I was like, all right, we'll just figure it out. Like, whatever. So they at least know. So
like Mike, I found out from his wife. I was like, wait, what does Mike really want? Right, yeah. Now, like, what is there anything that he really, really wants? And she's like, he wants this Bose speaker. It was like a couple $100. It was pretty expensive. But he'd been doing a good job. And one day I just like put it on the desk and like I bought it on Amazon. Yeah. And then he came in, he actually cried.
That's awesome.
Was just like so pumped that I bought him this
That's
thing.
Awesome.
Right. And then Erin, another one of my coaches, she wanted a pair of Beats headphones. So I got her a pair of Beats headphones. I just do like random stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
Yannick's parents were in town one time, and as he was leaving, like I gave him a high five, and there was like $200 in my hand, and he can go, you know,
do whatever.
Buy dinner because they were going to eat, and I was like, buy your parents dinner. And this is when he first started coaching, and like little things like that, I do think give you a little bit more of that like personal bond that I think does mean something, and you don't want to let that person down.
Totally.
And I don't do it like that on purpose, but I do think that people could do more things like that to create a little bit more special bond. So it lets you know that you're always thinking of them. Like your girlfriend, for instance, or your wife, for instance, it's like you never want her to never leave you a note or like never, like maybe give you a kiss before she leaves, even though you're sleeping, or like little tiny things where you're like, damn, that was fucking legit, you know? And like your whole day is so much different because of it.
And even getting back to like your, when you talk about like the people around you that you need to continue the thing. Like I am married and have a kid, and the balance that I feel of like what I should be doing to get myself, like the amount of work and thought that I've always put into me getting better at strength and conditioning. And at this point, really just communicating with people about strength and conditioning. Like when I had the gym, it was 6 days a week. And then Sunday, I would try to not think about it, which sometimes happens, sometimes doesn't.
Sunday's my busiest day.
Yeah.
I sit here and program all day.
Yeah. And, yeah, it sucks, right?
7 day week grind.
Yeah.
For sure.
And, yeah, you're up at 5, and you have personal training clients, and then you've got group classes, and then you've got coaches meetings, and you've got, it's fucking endless. And then Sunday shows up, and it'd be like, okay, family day. Well, now family day is like, with a brand new kid, like family day 7 days a week. Like I can't, it's hard enough when you like, when you're working and then your wife's like, hey, do you want to do something? You're like, no.
Yeah.
Like I don't, I actually am choosing to work right now over be with you. And she's on maternity leave right now. And it's like, do you think you could take a day off to like hang with me and the kid? No. Like, that's a fucking sacrifice that, like, really sucks. Like, it's really, really a heavy burden at times. But I really have committed my life to, like, figuring out. Like, I was watching this documentary on Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal. And Federer at the end was like, being good at what you do is great if you're focused on wins and losses, but it's much more fun to find out how good you could actually be at something if you just really commit to the process of being your best. And I was just like, fuck, like I get it. Like I don't need the money. I don't want, I money's cool. It allows me to go do things. But like you talk about like, I want to do less now that I have more money. It's like, yeah, because I know if I just keep doing this thing, like 8 years ago, we were basically fucking homeless.
Mm-hmm.
We had nothing.
Mine was like 6 years
ago. We're on the number one fucking network in strength and conditioning and health for podcasts. You have a badass gym. I've sold my gym for a good six-figure amount. Like it started with $32,000 and Brian's half, and you sell it for multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars because you commit to that process every single day. I don't know, like, who's going to walk into my life, but 3 years ago, like, when I met Doug and we started training together just to, like, hang out, and I just wanted to, like, learn from those guys. Now I'm the host of Barbell Shrugged. I just didn't know that.
You knew him 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that that was, like, a thing. Like, they used to run this entrepreneur's breakfast in Encinitas that I didn't even know about. But when I found out they did, I was like, well, I should probably just go, like, hang out with those guys and, like, be around them and just see, like, what it's like to have a podcast and be really good at it. And I think we can totally get into it because I think that there is, like, a system for doing what we're talking about. But I started to look around and I realized that there was, like, a lot of people that were just, like, happy to be there. And I'm never, like, a person that's just happy to be somewhere. Like, I want to know the intricacies of, like, what's going on. Like, I want to know the social structures. I want to know what how people are interacting. Like, there's like, a structure to all all places, right? Like, the leader is always the leader. Doesn't matter, like, where they go, the conversation that they have and the people that are attracted to them are always the leaders. Like, the leaders want to be around those leaders. So if you put all the leaders in a room, which is some entrepreneur's breakfast, like, how does that shake out? I could very easily go sit at the end of the table and have a fucking conversation with the guy that barely matters in the room, the lowest level leader, or I can find a way to sit at the head table and see if I can play that game. That seems a lot more beneficial to my life. And instead of, like, just being at the table and being happy to be there, like, I don't want to have to go and fight for time to learn about this process. Like, I need to figure out a way to get into the gym and train with these people to really see what they're about when they're on their own time. So let's set up training times. Like, there's a system to it, but, like, you have to go take that step. You have to go, like, be there and, like, observe what's going on and find out, like, why those people are that way and why they have the biggest podcast in the country and learn how you can add value to that. Like, that is literally how I and we all got this job, was because we're constantly trying to, like, be in that room and see what that room feels like and see who's moving the needle and why it works. Like, it's not about the money. It's about, like, man, how do I get the number one podcast in the country? Well, I should probably go hang out with the people that have the number one podcast and see what they're doing. Okay, now I have a relationship with those people. I can learn from those people.
And then you need somebody else. And then who's the first person that comes to mind?
The other person that works as hard as you do.
Yeah.
And that...
And I think that's where we...
Yeah.
I shouldn't say we've gotten lucky, but that's where we, you know, where we've shined in our lives.
Yeah, and that's... It's the instant trust that you have with other people that are, like, dying to make it. I don't even care if I'm dying to make it. That's, like, a stupid thing. But, like, I'm dying for people to know how hard I will work if they will give me an opportunity. Like, if you're listening to this and you are fucking interested in somebody that is dying to be a part of something awesome, like, call us. We'll figure out a way to make it happen. Yeah.
I mean, like, I listened to Tim Ferriss's podcast where his biggest break he's ever had was he was at South by Southwest and he went up to the most wanted person in the whole room and he's like, I've already called your secretaries, your assistants, and everyone's already said no, but I just want you to know that if anything happens, anyone cancels, someone dies, anything happens, let me know and I will run over there and I will talk to you. Like, I just want to talk to you more than anything. I can't remember who the person was, but it was like, was who everybody wanted to talk to. And he was nobody at the time.
Yeah.
And the guy hit him up and was like, hey, dude, we have 30 minutes and I'm going to be in this room. And if you want to come, it's on.
Yeah.
And he wound up making some massive, you know, connection. And the four hour work week came out and it's like literally changed his life. But because he went up to the head table.
And everyone can do that.
Yeah. But a lot of people don't try. And I think that's really interesting to me.
It's because I think people don't try because they don't have any success in that method. They think that there's some way that they're going to be, like, seen, or it's so hard to get there. And then once you get there, it's even harder to think that you have the potential to add value to that person.
That's like me with dancing. Like, I just don't want to dance.
Right? But, like, yeah. And, like, once
you start, you're like, okay, yeah, okay.
All right, fine. No one hates me.
But it's the only thing I'm terrified of. I'm like, I look at the dance floor, and I'm like, oh, my God. That's the White House right there. I can't get in.
It's like, yeah. I mean, I just, like, there's, you know, like, in... To even like bring it back to what we were talking about earlier, like I have almost changed my mentality from like, oh, those people are the best, what can I offer them, to like, that person's the best, but they haven't met me, so they haven't reached their full potential yet.
Yeah, like I can add something for them.
Yeah, they don't know that if I start hyping them up and they associate themselves with me, like, they're going to be better. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I guarantee you that if you let me tell your story, like, it's going to be an awesome situation. And that's like the thing that when Cena walked into the gym, it was like, I could just leave him alone and let him be in the corner like everyone else does. Or while the barbell is laying on the ground, I could probably go over and like lift in between sets with him. And now we're training partners. And now I'm having the best conversation in all of, like, life. And I get to do it for 4 straight years. And I get to just, like, I don't have to go and, like, Cena, I have a business problem that I would love your help on. It's like, no. It's like a casual conversation. Like, hey, I'm in town. Do you want to go lift? Yeah. Because I'm going to have, like, normal conversation. And then I get to ask, like, my awesome question as well. Like, we become friends where me and you are talking in the same manner that he would. He wants to learn about what we're doing just as much as... And now he calls and he says, hey, my friend's in town. Will you put him on Barbell Shrugged? And it's like, John Cena just asked me for a favor. Yeah. How gnarly is that?
Yeah.
Like, I never knew that that was like a possibility in life. And now I have something and that can provide value to him and his friends. And you just become a part of their life. But like... If you were to stop, there's so many times in life, like, even after I sold the gym, it was like, you could very easily just, like, take the money and walk. And, like, just go live, like, some normal life somewhere. But if I do that, I lose my purpose and I lose my sense of, like, what I'm supposed to be doing.
Fulfillment.
And I will never, ever be able to, like, work so hard again to get to such a level to have a mentor like that. And then lose it would be, like, for him to go and tell the story of my gym to somebody, and they were like, oh, well, what happened to that guy? Ah, he just, like, sold it and then just kind of, like, went and did nothing.
And then you're forgotten about.
And I'm gone. Or what's cooler, like, oh, he went and started this other business, and while he did that, like, he started training with this guy, and now he's got, like, the number one podcast in the country. Fuck.
Yeah, that's
that guy's a gangster.
Yeah.
Who is that guy? Like, you can't quit. I don't know why people don't. I don't know. It's really hard to find that passion and that purpose. But
I think what's really hard, and I mean, on my Instagram, every single day, I get someone who hits me up with a question that seems so obvious to me.
Yeah.
And I try to put myself in that person's shoes before I say something rude.
Right? Because they might not know.
Because they might not know. So, like, someone hit me up yesterday and he was like, hey, how many hours do you think I need to train to go to the CrossFit Games? You know what I said to him? Super fucked up.
It's probably just...
I said, if you have to ask, you're never going to go.
Yeah.
And he wrote back and he goes, wow, great conversation, bro. And I wrote him back.
Worked hard enough.
I wrote him back and I said, do you think Matt Frazier is asking anyone how long he needs to work in the gym? No, he's just doing it.
Yeah.
And then he writes back. He's like, thanks, man. I actually really needed to hear that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, dude, that's fucking it. And then also I get other people who ask me all the time, like, how did you get 400 members in your gym? Or how this or how that? And I'm like, well, it's just like you start with your one original passion and then you just keep doing the 100% every day instead of doing the roller coaster effect. Yeah. And then eventually all these other things open up and people see and people respect and then people ask and you're in the same boat that you're talking about with John and you're talking about with the Shrug Collective and all these different things because everything comes into play from people who are more successful than you are watching you on the rise. I can tell you people right now that I think are on the rise and that are going to do really well, like very easily. And if that person asked me for money, I'd be like, yeah, here you go.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that could ask me for money or even a favor, and I'd say no.
Yeah. And it's sad because as soon as you, like, the difference between those two people, the person that you would, without a doubt, instantly give money to, it's like, dude, seen as the perfect example. The only person I've ever invited to come train with us is you. Because I don't have to worry about, man, I hope he fucking shows up. Like, I don't want him to have a bad day. Like, no, every day is game day.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that we're going to get an A. Like, every single day is an A. And even if I'm sick, it doesn't fucking matter. You're getting it. And as soon as we expanded this thing into a network, it was like, who are you going to bring on? You guys weren't even doing a weekly show. You were just doing, like, whenever something popped in your head, and I was like,
well, do you want to know why?
I have to call Fisher. Like, he's the only person that I know that I 100% trust that is going to put 100% into this effort,
Which is why I didn't have a weekly show, because I would be stressed. Like, I would be studying for, like, 2 or 3 weeks before a show.
Yeah.
Like, our alcohol episode, our nutrition episode, yeah. I was, like, reading all this stuff so that I knew the answer to fucking everything.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I already knew a lot, but I wanted, you know, Yannick was on the show with me at the time, and I wanted him to say, you know, whatever he asked, I knew the answer to. Or if someone asked on Instagram, I knew the answer to. And I just wanted, like, a refresh, you know? And I was just, like, nervous to be on and not be, like, super, super respected, which is why I didn't have a weekly show.
Yeah. But that's literally, like, there's so few people that haven't taken a day off or, like, a week off. Or, like, the people that, like,
even when I'm on vacation, disappear I'm not taking for a year. Off.
No.
No.
No. And it, man, it affects, I just, people, like, need to understand how hard it is. Because it's not just, like, about the work. The work is super easy. Like, working is an absolute joy to me. Like, I love...
It just never ends.
It never ends.
That's the hard part. Because it gets draining because you never have a day off. I think the easiest thing in the world is to work for somebody.
Yeah, because you don't have to... you just... I did my job.
I literally cannot imagine what it feels like to walk outside of a door and not have to worry about what's on the other side of that door until I get back.
Yeah.
And I'm not, and these aren't like actual doors. These could be like metaphorical doors. These could be actual doors. It could be, I mean, like anything that I mean, my fucking email is a door. Like to not look at my email for a certain amount of time, super stressful. Don't like it.
Yeah. Something could explode.
You know what I mean? Like a lot of things I'm like, okay, you know, like, that's like really hard to me. Even like going to bed and not taking one more little check.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, those are the things that I think make a difference between a business owner and a business worker.
Yeah. And I think it's... So, like, the work thing is really easy to me, and I love being creative, and I love accomplishing things. The thing that's really, really hard to me is the consistency. And it's not hard because it's, like, I don't enjoy the consistency. It's, like, I love showing up every single day. What's hard is all of the other people... It's the opportunity cost of, like, the relationships in my life that are hindered by the fact that, like, I have to go do this. I'm driven from a place that's way, way different from everyone else's motivations. Like, I can't explain sometimes to my wife, like, I can't explain to Ashton why I have to do this. And it doesn't even make sense to her at times. She just has, like, gotten comfortable with, like, Anders has to go do this. Like, why do you have to go to the gym 7 days a week and train? Well, I'm not going to the gym to work out. Like, a lot of people go to the gym to work out. I'm going because I have this sick, twisted thing in my brain that if I don't check in every single day with a barbell, I'm missing some piece to this puzzle. And I'm not fulfilled. I'm not like checking in with this like most basic function of my life, which is training. And then my training changes all the time. And that's not like, why do I have to go run the hill sprint? It's so hard. Why do I have to do that every single week? Why is it so important that I go climb the fucking hill every week? I don't know. But if I don't do it, there's a piece in my brain that's like, you're fucking slacking off. Like, why aren't you holding yourself accountable to this, to this thing that you've created in your life. Like, how are you not working as hard as you possibly can to maximize your life and all of the possibilities? And unfortunately, like, sometimes I do let my family down. Like, we go on vacation and, like, I wake up before everybody. There isn't, like, the romantic morning in bed, like, where we just lay around in the sheets and watch TV. I can't. I have to wake up.
Is terrible.
Yeah, like, I have to, like, wake up before everyone. Like, there's an alarm, and that alarm is set specifically because I know when she's going to wake up, and I can accomplish these things before she gets out of bed, and then my head is much clearer. And it's probably not the most healthy way, but I almost, like, guarantee you that all these people that you think are successful, like, they wake up and they get out of bed before everyone else, not because it's some happy-go-lucky thing. It's because if I don't get out of bed at 6 o'clock every day, fuck, I'm so far behind already.
Yeah, 8 o'clock to me is like,
I don't know what happens.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's like stressful. I'm like, oh my God, I lost 2 hours.
Yeah. Like,
or even three sometimes.
Yeah. And you're just like, man, why? It has to come from something. Like, some people just don't have it. Some people are designed not to have it, I think. Like, and it's a skill. Like, have you always had it?
I have such an interesting background. Like, my actual... So, like, me growing up, my grandma was I grew up in New Jersey, for those of you who don't know. And my grandma was $100 million. Rich as fuck.
Yeah.
Right? And my mom, she just worked at... My uncle was a dentist, and she was a dental hygienist for him. She didn't make very much money. I don't know, 50 grand, something like that. But we lived in, like, $1 million house. You know? So, like, obviously, like, I put two and two together. My grandma bought that for my mom. And my mom drove a Mercedes, so, like, two and two still equals four. So... You know, when I wanted to go snowboard somewhere, like anywhere, because, like, we had these ski trips at my school, I was on every single one, you know, and they were all really expensive. Like, most kids maybe get to go to one, and I got to go to all of them.
Yeah.
I raced BMX professionally, and I was number 5 in the world. Like, I mean, I was really, really good.
Yeah.
And I rode my bike fucking everywhere. Like, I was a 12-year-old kid. I'd get a flat tire, what would be equivalent to, like, a 45-minute car ride away, and pull out my giant Nextel walkie-talkie of a phone, which was prepaid. It wasn't a real phone. And I'd be like, Mom, hey, I'm in this town. And she'd be like, how the fuck did you get there?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, well, I heard there was some really cool dirt jumps over here, so... I had to go and check it out. So I had, like... I had the silver spoon, kind of. Like, I could do whatever I want, and... I don't know what it was that just drove me. Like, I wanted more, and I wanted it on my own, and I literally, like, I never really accepted what I had as, like, I was lucky. Because, like, I immediately, when I was 18, my goal was to just be as far away from my family as I could.
Yeah.
Because, like, I didn't really like a lot of things. Like, I grew up with two brothers and two sisters in the same house. And then my dad, well, I didn't know who my real dad was until I was 24.
Yeah.
Actually, when I was 18, I found out who he was. Met him when I was 24. He has three more daughters, which I've met now. I've only met my real dad 3 times. It was a really hard scenario for me in my life when I found all that out. Gnarly scenario. It's for another podcast for sure. I found out that he was, like, really successful in his own business. And... when I had found out who he was, him and I literally became, we still are the same person.
Yeah.
And I'd never met him a day in my life. And my other brothers, like my one brother, like, sorry, Mom, if you're listening to this, he's a heroin addict. And my other brother is a drug dealer. Hopefully he's not selling it to him, but they're both, like, on this completely different train.
Yeah.
And then my two sisters that I grew up with own a hair salon, totally different train as well. Everybody kind of, you know, pretty heavy drinkers and stuff like that. And I just remember growing up, and just, like, I would see it, and I'm just like, fuck, I don't want this, I don't want this, I don't want this. And as soon as I became 18, I moved away. And no one really wanted to help me, so I lived in a hostel for, like, $17 a night in Honolulu in Waikiki. And I just put my head down and went to a community college and I started going to helicopter school to become a pilot. But my mom didn't help me with all that until like a month. Like, she wanted to make sure that while I was there, I was committed to it, and I wasn't just going to run back home.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not coming home.
Yeah, no interest.
You know, like, I'm staying in a hostel now with new roommates every day.
Yeah.
It was a cool scenario. I ate peanut butter and jelly every day that whole month. That's what was free in the hostel. And I kept thinking to myself, like, I'm going to have this really cool life. Like, I know I am. And then I met this kid. His name was Eric Schaefer. God, I hope he's listening to this. But I remember seeing him, and he just looked like a freak of nature. I'd never seen anybody with muscles and like veins popping out.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, I want to train. Like, I want to work out, you know? And he's like, come work out.
Yeah.
And I was like nothing at the time. And I was working out with him, and he's like, dude, you're fucking gnarly, you know? Like, just naturally really strong. And from there, I saw a sign one day recruiting for the Olympic bobsled and skeleton team. Yeah. And I went and did this test, and I did really well on it. I moved to Utah. My life is just on this train of changing. I graduated from the University of Utah. I wound up being the Olympic, like, alternate, training on the Olympic team for years to wrap all that stuff up real quick. And then I had moved to California and started CrossFitting and, you know, met you along the way and lost everything along the way and became nothing.
Yeah.
And it was very easy for me to maybe ask my mom and ask for help or ask for somebody in my family to help me. And I just didn't. And instead I stole shit. Yeah. And I took it in my own hands and was like, I am going to make this work somehow.
Yeah.
And I don't know what, like, wires my brain to think that way. Like, I don't know what it was. Like, I had everything growing up, and then I lost everything. And I don't know, even still, like, now I have more than I ever thought I would ever have. And I just don't care. Like, the only thing I care about is this conversation.
It's the work.
And I care about the people that I meet, and I care about all the messages that I get on Instagram where they're like, dude, I loved this workout, or I love your content, or I love this, or I love that. And I really never thought that would be like a real thing, you know? Like, you know, more money, more problems, or this or that. And it's like, I don't know, like, more money, more ambition. Like,
it's not, it's almost like it's not even, I think that it's so simple for us, because we came, so like, at some parallel, like, my high school was, like, I went to boarding school. It's not like I was sent there because I was a bad kid. Like, I went there with all the kids that were super wealthy, and I was the poor kid. And I cut grass in the summers while they were off doing whatever they did.
See, I actually elected. I wanted to come back to that. I actually elected to do a gnarly job in the summer.
Yeah.
Because, like, I was never given money. I could just do things, right? So I wanted to earn money. And I actually worked on a watermelon farm.
That's awesome.
I don't know if I ever told you about that, but I would take watermelons out of a pickup. Out of this, well, a tractor trailer, a semi, and I'd put them in these bins. And that was when I actually found out that I was, like, kind of a badass individual.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't get tired, and I'm really strong, and I can do this all fucking day. Yeah. And even the guy was like, dude, you're a fucking animal.
You're hireable.
Right? Yeah. And that was, like, when I found out that, like, I was strong and, like, I was confident. Like, after that, I was like, yeah. And I was making, like, 14 bucks an hour, and I was, like, this young-ass kid. It was awesome. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
I feel like part of that, like, going, like, I had this really weird experience in high school in which, like, I always felt like I was dumb because everybody was so smart. They had
boarding school. Yeah.
They had all gone to these, like, private elementary schools. And I remember, like, sitting in my first English class and, like, writing papers. And my teacher literally, like, walking over to me and just being like, oh, nobody ever taught you how to write. Like, nobody in public school ever taught me.
Yeah.
I had no clue that writing was, like, a skill. So I was, like, always dumb. Not, like, dumb, but, like, nobody ever taught me the skill of being smart. Yeah. All I had to do was, like, make the grade. Well, making a grade and learning how to be smart are very different. I can make grades all day long. That's like a hacking the system thing. Being smart is a process and, like, actually engaging yourself. And but it's really hard.
Engaging
is really, really hard. And I think that that is like, man, it's just, I'm addicted to doing really hard things. And in order for me to accomplish those things, I feel like I have to be like the hero of my story. And like, when I get to meet people, I have to be able to believe that I can make everyone around me better and that they would want to be a part of what I'm doing. And it's so crazy. Like, I don't know why it has to be this way. Like, it's a strange thing, like, that it's like twisted in your head to think that like you have to go and do this every day. And I don't know what thing it is, but when you put that out there, and why we started to do this whole like show in the first place, is like, when you do that every single day, that person's going to show up and tell you exactly what the future looks like. And I think that that is the addicting part to me, is that I know that if every single day I'm working my ass off, and it's very obvious to the entire world that I'm working my ass off. And the only way that they know that is you continue to get better at what you're doing. Somebody somewhere, and I think I remember you saying this on a show we did, maybe the very first Barbell Shrug, but it was like, if you continue doing that, like, somebody is going to come to you and say like, hey, you should steer this thing in a more, in this direction. And you go, oh, okay. Like, I'm going to work hard no matter what. I just need like a little bit of guidance, and I need an opportunity, because I'm already in that next place. Like, people like wonder like, what's your 3 or 5 year goal? And it's like,
no,
I just
fucking hate
that question. I'm gonna work my ass off, and somewhere in the next 3 years, I'm going to meet somebody that is going to change my life. But if I don't do it every single day, that person's going to show up on my off day. That's going to suck, because I missed that whole opportunity. And if
that's where all my personal training clients come from. People always ask me, like, where do you get your personal training clients? I'm like, I'm in the gym.
Yeah.
I'm there.
I always had that stuff.
That one personal training client that I did get is the reason I have Chalk.
Yeah.
And that one lady who came in, who talked about my gym every time she was there, I was there every time, told me to do the online thing.
Yeah.
And it's the same analogy that I said on that show that you're talking about. Is I said, if you show up every day and you smell good, and you look good, and you put a good effort in, someone's going to like you, and you're going to get a girlfriend, dude.
Yeah, and you know, like, and it goes back to Cena. Like, I was on an off day. I wasn't supposed to be working out. Like, we were,
yeah,
I wasn't supposed to be training. And you never know when John Cena is going to call. Like, you can't, there's no way you can be prepared. The only way you can be prepared for the day that John Cena shows up is to be prepared every single day of your life. And you're like, you want to know how the Shrug Collective was created? Well, I was never prepared to be in that car to throw that idea out of how we could build a network. But I thought about it so many times. And then one day I was just in the car and the vibe was right. And I had like been co-hosting, and it was like, maybe this idea matters. Maybe it'll bring value to what they're doing. And now we have this. And now my friends are a part of it. And it's like, if you're not so immersed in it, like, people, I had a guy that runs a large CrossFit competition, like a national CrossFit competition. I had a meeting with him the other day, and he was like, you know, I don't really want to like be immediate competition to you, but like, do you think that we should start a podcast for our event? And I was like, do you think anybody in this world is competition to me? You're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I'm so unconcerned with your podcast. All I'm concerned about is showing up and making sure that every single guest that I talk to is having the most fun and the best conversation they've ever had in their life. And if you think you're going to beat me in that, well, good luck. Like, come get some. But when that guest leaves, my sole job is to make sure that they had the best time, the best conversation, and that when an opportunity happens, they go, dude, I bet Anders would be awesome at that. And if I take a show off, if I shit the bed, if I'm not 100% present and 100% engaged, I'm going to miss that opportunity. And then that guy becomes competition because I opened the door by me putting a shitty product out. So if you want to start a podcast, come get some. But you're going to have to be way better than us. Yeah. And you're going to have to meet way more people. And you're going to have to be so much better than me that, like, you fucking won. Congrats, dude. But the amount of work you're going to have to put in to be actual be competition and something I'm concerned about...
You'll be dead.
You'll die.
You'll be dead by the time that you
even can't do it.
Get close.
So stop worrying about competition and just show up every day because I'm going to meet different people than you. You're going to meet different people than me. And your opportunities are going to happen because of the way you affect people and the way that you inspire change and the way that you make people feel. But you're not competing against me. Like, and I'm going to smash you if you think you're coming to take my game. Like, I've been, this game's way developed. You can't come into my lane. But, like, play your game. Like, start your podcast. I don't care. Do whatever you want. It's your competition, not mine. Like, have fun. Yeah. Enjoy it.
People get really stressed about competition, especially gym owners hit me up all the time. So-and-so's opening here, or, like, an F45 open next to my CrossFit gym. I'm like, good.
Yeah, who, like, gives a shit?
It doesn't really matter. Like, I used to be super stressed about that. Now, I know that I'm so far ahead of everybody else that I just don't care at all.
It would take you so long to try to be, to try to do what I do.
Yeah.
Like, I literally think up so many scenarios in my life, and I replay so many conversations in my head of, how did I say this? How did I make that person feel? Was there a better question? Was I the most engaging? Was, like, how, I'm constantly dissecting the way that I am around people and the way that I do my job, and that is, like, the 24-hour-a-day piece. Like, you may sit down and watch TV at night. Well, that TV may be on, but I'm not watching that TV. Like, I am constantly analyzing my own performance on just, like, how I make people feel and the job that I'm doing. Like, you can't, if you're not doing that, like, you got to get better at what you do and you got to care more because all those things matter so much. Like, the way that you coach every single class, fuck, if people understood that everything that has ever happened between you and I comes out of literally being able to stand in front of 10 people and make them have the best hour of their day. Not one day a week, 5, 6, 7 times a day, every single day, and make sure that the music is fucking bumping and make sure that the vibe's right and all that stuff adds up. But it's going to take you 2 years. Like, I think that success, if you started today and committed everything that you possibly could to it in a manner that you could do this forever, you're 2 years away. That's so fucking hard to rationalize. Like, you, it's twisted. You could go make 150 grand at some corporate job so easily, and you could do it tomorrow. Go do it. Like, do that. But stay the fuck away from being an entrepreneur and stay away from owning a gym or starting your podcast or anything that requires you to build something, because you're not going to get paid for 2 years. It's going to be so hard, and you're not going to be able to sustain it unless there's some sick, twisted thing that goes on in your brain.
Mine was like 4 years. Even as popping as my gym was, like, for me to actually see, like, revenue where it, like, mattered was 4 years. And then also, like, 3.5 years in was when my online program started. And also 3.5 years in was when I met you. Not met you, but when the whole podcasting thing started. And, you know, I would beg to differ. It's actually a little bit longer.
Yeah, I just, when I sold the gym, I instantly started the online training program. I knew nothing about digital marketing. I knew nothing about any of it. And then this happened, and it's been a 2-year process of me figuring out what the next step is. And, I mean, I try to look at everything in, like, 2-year chunks. And the last 2 years have been, like, post-gym, post-selling the gym, it's really crazy. Like, it's so gnarly how you, if you were to sell your gym and you sell chalk and you get rid of all of that, your whole vibe goes too. You have to reinvent everything about yourself.
Everything.
And that was, it's been a 2-year process for me to be able to, but in selling that and reinventing myself and figuring out and still showing up every fucking day to be as good as possible, like, that was a 2-year journey to being able to go from selling my gym and absolutely nothing with really no clue of, like, what the future looked like to now having, like, a national / international platform to talk about strength and conditioning.
Yeah.
And it's literally, like, it's zero. Like, I think that is, like, the coolest thing about us is, like, it literally came from zero. Like, nobody knows how zero feels.
Yeah.
Because going and getting a job is so much easier than zero.
But there's also a lot of people listening right now who are, you're either a coach at a gym, you're a personal trainer, you want to open your own gym, maybe you own your own gym right now, you're making very little money. Everything that Anders and I both have started at a $15 an hour class.
Not like, even.
Or less.
I remember you literally like came in and you were like, so like, how much money do you make? And I was like, dude, you think we make money here?
Yeah.
This is a joke. Like, we don't, I have two jobs. I'd lied to my employer that was on the East Coast. They didn't even know that I opened the job and the gym until I quit. And I had to give them my 2 weeks. And they're like, oh, well, what are you going to do? It's like, oh, well, 6 months ago I started a gym and I'm barely making ends meet, but I have to, like, go on this path.
Yeah.
Like, people just,
But I think a lot of people out there need to hear that, like, we weren't just given all this money or, like, given this opportunity. It all literally was this really, really, really inexpensive seed that was planted that we put all the water on and sprouted into all this shit. God, I love that analogy. I just crushed that.
taking a sip of water and almost spit it up.
So we decided to, you know, take the best water that was possibly on this earth and put it on that seed. And that seed grew up to be a bad motherfucker. It's the LeBron of all the seeds, you know? So, like, I decided that that was the seed that I was going to grow. And that's the seed that Anders decided to grow. And, you know, you guys are the master of your fate, really. And you guys can create as much as you want if you put the work in and show up every single day.
And even more than the work, it's like, how special do you think you are? Like, all these things happen to me. Like, they don't happen to everybody.
No.
And, like,
definitely not. I actually hear the opposite of things not happening to people all the time.
Yeah, but, like, I'm so, so dedicated to the, like, I feel like the people that are successful, and, like, there's a lot of people that wouldn't even consider us successful. Like, they're billionaires, for sure. Like, whatever it is.
But how do you measure success is another question.
Yeah, it's the thing about, like, I just believe that everything right now is being put in my life specifically to get me wherever I'm supposed to be going, and I don't know where that is. But I've watched this process play out so many times that, like, it's the perfect example is, like, I wanted to create this cool little YouTube show. And after episode one, I got invited to go to Laird Hamilton's house. Well, I didn't just want to go to Laird Hamilton's house. Like, I wanted to talk to that guy. And I didn't get the opportunity to talk to him. But I got invited back. And not just to, like, the day that everybody gets invited back. Like, I get invited back to, like, the regular training session where, like, they work really hard. And you get to, like, see behind the scenes. Not the shiny thing that they're selling to people. You get to see where, like, the fucking training happens and their hard work. And you realize that, like, I think that right now I'm working really hard, but I'm not, because those guys are doing it way better than me, and they're working harder than me in a more specific direction, and I realize, like, oh, if I want to be as good as them, like, I need to hone it in even more and work harder on even a more specific thing. Like, right now, we're building a network, so it's easy to be like, more shows, more people, the vault, get in and do this stuff, and it's like, no, I need to be tighter. It needs to be more concise. Like, there needs to be a better message. And when you see people that are, like, at the top of their game, like, that's, they're so honed in on that one tiny specific thing, and they work so hard at it that, like, that's the thing that I learned the most when watching Cena. It was, like, I felt like I was dying and working so hard every day. And then you see his life, and you're like,
his life is crazy.
I'm a fucking child. And, like, that guy's in the most important room every single day of his life. Like, that he's in like 6 movies right now. Like, how does he even have time to go do that stuff? And you watch those people and you're like, oh, there's another level.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even remotely close to like that. Like, I have to get better and I have to be presented more opportunities. The only way I'm going to get those opportunities is to keep doing what I'm doing. It's not like the difference between Cena and me is just time. Not that I'm going to be the next John Cena, but like, I know that path. I know what it looks like. I know how hard that guy worked to get there and how disciplined and tight his life is. And you can get there if you choose to, like, really, like, how many times have people been told, like, you can be whatever you want to be? It's fucking bullshit. Unless you buy into your own story and you're willing to just wake up and grind so hard to find out what makes you special and why people are attracted to you and why people that are playing at a much higher level are interested in helping guide you along this path. Because that, you're not going to get there unless you have awesome mentors and you have people helping you out. And the only way for that to happen is if you wake up every day and you're just dying to be better at what you do.
And embarrassed to not be at 100%.
Yeah, it's really embarrassing if somebody, if your name is ever associated and someone's like, yeah, I just showed up one day and it looked like he was like mailing it in.
Oh, Jesus.
That would spread like wildfire. Like, think about how many times you've been in an Uber and had like a super pleasant experience. And then you have like one bad Uber driver and you're like, I'm just going to put on fucking Facebook that Uber sucks.
Yeah.
Like, that's your whole life. That's your whole career. It's everything you built your name out of. And all it takes is like, I don't know. Anders just doesn't seem like he like worked that hard. He didn't really care. That message is going to spread so much more. And people are going to tell that story way more than the, like, seemed like he was like dying to be better.
That's my like entire bone to pick with CrossFit is you can go into any gym and have a totally different experience.
Yeah.
But immediately that was your experience at CrossFit, not CrossFit X and then CrossFit Double X or whatever, right? It's just like, yeah. I went in and it was like, eh. And especially the workout was like, eh. And the owner was like, eh. The coach was like, eh. And it's like, this is fucked. Like,
yeah.
That's not me. That's why I don't even call my gym CrossFit. It's chalk.
I don't want to be a part of that.
But
at the beginning of CrossFit, everybody was like that. Like, think about the people you're hanging out with. Even though he's a lunatic, Teasdale works super hard.
Super hard.
Like, he is...
I think you know, but, like, someone in the gym, in his gym, offered me the ability to open a gym, like, across the street and crush him. And I was like, no, I have too much respect for him.
Yeah.
And I had nothing at the time.
Yeah.
Still stealing shit. And I was like, not doing it. Too much respect for him.
Yeah.
There's another fucking whole nother level of a conversation right there. Like, talk about people giving us great opportunities. Think about the person that you don't even really like all that much, but you respect him so much that you don't even want to crush him.
Yeah.
That was like my level of respect for Ronnie.
Ronnie's always been dialed in, but those people back in the day, like, everybody worked so hard because the whole thing was based out of competition. And that was like how you were respected around town.
If you weren't good at CrossFit, you were nobody.
Yeah. And if your gym, the whole, everything mattered. And like, dude, this is another thing that I think people need to fucking learn really bad. Like, how many people train all day long and then they don't understand what to do after? Like, we've had to transition out of being athletes and competitors into business. My snatch and clean and jerk doesn't matter for shit right now. But what matters is when you saw me lifting weights, everything mattered. It was the most important thing, and I was willing to throw up and die to beat you in workouts. And well, not you specifically, that was different, but like, if you saw me training, you would look at that person and just be like, what the fuck is wrong with that guy? Like, why is he doing that to himself? Why is he going through these squat cycles? Like, he's dying. Well, because if you saw me and I wasn't training hard, that would be so embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
Every day, if there was just a second where you showed up and I wasn't literally dying to get better, that's what you would think of me. Be like, oh, yeah, well, that one time he didn't. Like, it didn't seem that, like, he didn't care. Oh, no.
Yeah. And that's, like, kind of what I go for, like, usually when most people meet me the first time, is I hope that there's some sort of, like, moment that they have.
Yeah.
Like, I've had people say, like, he had incredible posture, like, when I met him, and, like, he looked very intense, or, like, I don't know, like, there was something about him, like, when I met him, like, he was super, like, this or that or whatever, and I'm always, like, glad to hear that, because I'm not really, like, trying to do that, but I've heard it so many times now that I am, like, thinking about it. I meet a new person, I'm like, I hope that he thinks this of me, or she thinks this of me, or something like that.
And it's, like, the most important thing when you are with people, like, I have to train with people to know if they're actually willing to work really fucking hard. It's kind of like my barometer for, are we going to be able to have a relationship of any sort.
That's actually fair. I read this article about a CEO in Switzerland. He owns, like, this giant bank chain, and everybody in the entire fucking place all does CrossFit every day. And he runs it, like, the whole heading of the article, it was in the Harvard Business Review. He talks about how he runs his gym like a CrossFit gym. And he's like, anybody who can't cut it or mentally breaks,
gotta go.
They gotta go. He literally fucking fires them.
Yeah, so, like,
he's like, you're a pussy, and you're not gonna work hard when you need to, and I can't have you.
Everything that happens,
that is amazing shit right there.
For me, comes from, like, training with people, or, yeah, like, them watching me coach, or, like, watching me talk to people, is, it's purely, it's 100%, like, we have to go to the gym, and we have to figure this thing out. Like, are you capable of playing at this level? Like, if you move like shit, I know you haven't put the work in, and we're not going to work out. If you can't snatch 225, I'm not saying that we aren't going to, like, be friends, but I know you haven't put the work in, because everyone can do that.
Yeah.
It matters that you snatch 2 1/4. And that's real. Like, everyone can do that.
I need to put
I don't my... know a single person that I trust that can't do that.
I'm putting that on my Bumble profile.
But it's sure. real. It's real, not because I need you to be strong to work out with me, but I need you to have been through the same grind that I've been through, because I know every single person in this world is capable of doing that if you fucking care. If that matters to you.
Mark Zuckerberg definitely can't snatch 225.
There's no way I could be in business with that guy. Could you imagine sitting down and just being like, Zuckerberg, you're such a fucking dork. I know you're the richest person in the world, but I just can't, like, we don't speak the same language.
I don't think any of these guys, I don't think Tim Ferriss, Gary Vee, Tony Robbins.
No.
No one can snatch 225.
But, like,
all right, guys, so
Rogan can definitely do it. You think? Rogan's a savage. If he tried, he could definitely do it.
Okay.
Rogan could definitely, and I've seen him clean and press 100-pound kettlebells for, like, sets of 8.
Oh, okay. He probably could do it.
He's a monster. He's thick and juiced.
Yeah.
Like, he's on the good stuff. But, okay, fine. It doesn't have to be 225, but that's a really good thing. Like,
if it's 185, it's got to look good.
Yeah.
No, 185, I can't do it. It's got to be over 2 bills.
It's got to be over 2 bills. If you can't just, like, casually snatch. So I interviewed Jessica Lucero the other day, and I made a point to snatch 100 kilograms in front of her because I needed her to know that I've put my work in under the barbell for her to respect me. Like, that matters to her. She's the strongest girl in the country right now, mm-hmm. at, like, what, 63 or something like that. And it fucking matters that she knows that I can snatch that. Not because she's going to go want me as her training partner, but I want her to know that I've put the work in and that it looks good and that I can move well.
And you can have a good conversation.
Yeah. And now we're on, like, the same playing field of, we've put our time into this little battle here. Like, it matters. It's all possible. Like, it's so easily doable to snatch 225. The problem is you have to work at it for, like, 7 years.
Which is just like business.
Just like business. Yeah. We can't have this conversation 7 years ago because we were homeless. Mm. We didn't have food. We couldn't afford this sweet microphone you just bought.
Guys, like, this microphone is one hell of a story.
Yeah.
Anders forgot all of his stuff.
Doesn't mean we're smart. It just means we work really
all
hard.
Of my stuff is in Europe. We've been staring at the clock the whole time, making sure it doesn't freeze.
Yeah.
It is a very fancy little microphone for our iPhone, and it's worked out really well for us.
But and if you really want to make this thing come full circle, I've got to end this right now because we've talked past my appropriate time because my 4 week and 2 day year old child has a pediatrics appointment right now in La Jolla that I have to go to, which I have probably made the conscious decision that I'm going to be late to because this conversation's so good.
It was a very good conversation, and we do want you guys to know that anything that you want can happen if you show up every single day. We talk about showing up on the Barbell Shrugged, on the Real Chalk podcast all the time, but I think that we showed you a little bit better way to water that seed.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the title of this thing.
Is how to water the seed.
But we hope that you guys take this information and use it. You show up every single day and you never forget who is watching because you never know what might happen.